Thank you, Cheryl. I not only heard that, I felt it. Every enlightened child of God feels the love of God and rejoices in the fact that He has set us free. Imagine God looking upon us with delight. God delights in His chosen blood-bought children. This keeps us in perpetual awe, amazed that God could love someone like me. But His love is an everlasting love, a love that comes from God Himself, not from anything that He sees in the flesh. God hates that. But He loves the new creation that He alone can create in a hell-deserving sinner. And because of His eternal love for us, the Word of God says in Jeremiah 31:3 that in loving kindness He draws us to Himself. And it's under the preaching of His gospel. If your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, may this be the appointed time that He might be pleased to reveal His love for His people under the preaching of His gospel. Turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Our Lord gives His preachers these instructions through the writings of His apostle Isaiah. He tells us, His ordained preachers, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now we speak to spiritual Israel, spiritual Jerusalem, when we preach the gospel. All of that which we read in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ and His blood-bought church. National Israel was only a type of spiritual Israel. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a theologian to know that's what the Word of God teaches. Now, there's no comfort to any of God's enlightened children under the preaching of any religion that promotes the works of man and the salvation of God's elect. There's no comfort in that. It's impossible. I'm quoting Scripture. It is impossible for any unregenerate sinner to please God. Impossible. Our Lord says that. What comforts the hearts of God's enlightened children is what our majestic triune God has done for us, not what we have done for God. God has done for us what no other could do. Our warfare is accomplished. Our warfare is accomplished. If you have not gone through the convicting power of God the Holy Spirit, you don't know what that means. When God starts convicting us of our sins against Him, we start struggling. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit. We start struggling with this question, how can I be just with God? We know by the enlightening power of God the Holy Spirit that we deserve nothing but God's wrath. And we know, as already has been mentioned this morning, that we're bankrupt. This is God's work in us, letting us know that there's nothing we can do to take care of our sin debt. But when our Lord reveals what He accomplished for us at Calvary, the warfare is over. We quit struggling. We run into the arms of Jesus Christ knowing that He took care of our sin debt by Himself. He by Himself purged the sins of those who were promised to Him by God the Father in the eternal covenant of grace way back before time began. And that comforts us. That comforts us to know that absolutely nothing can be laid to our charge. God's holy justice has been satisfied through the redeeming work of His darling Son. And He sees us in Jesus Christ. You can hang on to this. This is almost like it's too good to be true. He sees no sin in us. None. I cannot help but think, how can that be? How can that be? I'm still in the flesh. I'm still a sinner. I still do things I shouldn't do, and I don't do the things I know I should do. Yet God sees no sin in me. Well, that's what the Word of God teaches. And this message that the Lord has laid on my heart confirms that very truth. And if you haven't heard that truth, and I said right after Sunday school, if you turn a deaf ear to this truth, you're committing spiritual suicide. There's no other way to be accepted in the sight of God but through the redeeming work of our perfect Savior.
Amen.
And if we don't believe that, we've never heard the gospel, Christ is not in us, and we're on our way to eternal torment. The true gospel of God's sovereign grace in the salvation of a particular people is nothing but foolishness to the unregenerate people, no matter how religious he or she might be. There's an article in today's bulletin by Pastor David Edmondson. It's in the middle of your bulletin at the bottom. I think it's the bottom left-hand side. Let me check, make sure. Yes. And he titled this message, Itching Ears. Now, Pastor Edmondson is where our oldest daughter, Shelley, and her family go to church. And that's the church that Judy and I will put our fellowship in when we move to Kentucky. And I am so thankful that our daughter and her family are under his preaching. I think you'll see why when I read this article. He titled it Itching Ears and took his thoughts from 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4, where the inspired word of God says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Now, taking his thoughts from that passage of Holy Inspired Scripture, Brother David writes, "I don't think that there is any doubt that this time has come. I am amazed at the things that naturally bright and intelligent men and women will sit and listen to today. People will flock to hear a man who claims to have gone to heaven and returned with stories to tell after being revived on the operating table. Men and women are simply fascinated by such sensationalism, but are not interested in the plain and simple teaching of redemption in and by the perfect righteousness of Christ. They will not endure sound doctrine. Men and women will fill auditoriums to heap to themselves teachers who tell them how God's desire for all to be healthy and wealthy, but they have turned away their ears from the truth to hear these fables. Paul tells us this is caused by their own lusts. Men want God to be who and what they desire, but they do not desire God to be who and what He is. I speak of those who have nothing but itching ears. End of quote. Now I've titled this morning's message, If Ye Be Christ. Look at the last verse of Galatians chapter 3. Verse 29 reads this way, and I say again, this is God's word. God's word tells us, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I don't think there can be any greater comfort to a hell-deserving sinner than to know that we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, because of who He is, the resurrected, exalted, glorified God-man, everything belongs to Him. All of creation is His. He created it. And He is in sovereign control over all that belongs to Him.
Amen.
But His blood-bought children belong to Him as the apple of His eye. Even though we've sinned against Him and still sin against Him, He loves us with an everlasting love. A love that's like Himself. Eternal, perfect, and immutable. That's what we've been singing about. I am thine, O Lord. I am His and He is mine. That's what Cheryl was singing about. His eye is on the sparrow. I was going to give a testimony about that, but we don't have time. That's one of my favorite songs. And that goes right along with what Michael brought before us during his devotional. He, our God, takes care of everything that we need. He's our defense. He's our great high tower. He's our all. And brethren, if that doesn't bless you, you need God to quicken you. Now, let me give you three very important points on this subject of us belonging to Jesus Christ. Three very important points. We belong to Jesus Christ by virtue of a divine promise. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Secondly, we belong to Jesus Christ by virtue of a divine payment. He paid the price in full for all of our sins. Thirdly, we belong to Christ by virtue of a divine power. In our unregenerate state, we are without hope. It took the power of God to deliver us from that awful, sinful state that we were in. If we're under any religion that promotes man's works and salvation, then we cannot believe that there was a time when we were without hope. But the Bible says we were without hope. What a God to take us who deserve His wrath as much as anyone who is a reprobate, that He would take us out of that awful pit that we were in. And He's done that. And that's why we as God's preachers, and that's why you as God's chosen enlightened people, have the desire to tell others about this wonderful God that we belong to. We want Him to do for you what He has done for us. I had the honor of witnessing to a man years ago when we lived in Montana, and he said, and you may have had someone say this to you, he said, "Why do you guys always try to cram that down our throats?" And I said, "Did it ever go through your mind that maybe we believe what we're saying and we love you enough that we don't want you to go to that place called hell? And boy, did he get silent. And he said, no, I never even thought about it that way. And we parted company. I've never seen him since. But that's true. What's in our hearts, the new heart that God has given us, is what we want other people to know, because this is the only hope that any hell-deserving sinner has, is to see Jesus Christ as the one who has taken care of our sin debt, as the one who will present us holy and without blame before Him because of what He accomplished for us while He was here on this earth.
Amen.
Now, we belong to Christ by virtue of a divine promise. And here in Galatians chapter 3, we read these words, starting at verse 16. Now, Abraham and his seed, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, folks, listen. God did make this promise to Abraham that he would have a son. And he did. And God fulfilled what he had spoken to Abraham concerning his seed being as the sand of the seashore, as the stars in heaven, that he would have a posterity that came from his loins, came from him, a multitude that no man could number. Now that applies both to his physical seed and the spiritual seed. From Abraham came Isaac. From Isaac came Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. From Israel came 12 sons who were called the 12 tribes of Israel, because that was his name. The country was named Israel as well, but the 12 tribes of Israel were from the 12 sons of Jacob. But it also applies to the spiritual seed, which is Christ. That's what we just read. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So God himself made a promise concerning Christ. And this promise refers to the promise God the Father made to his Son back in old eternity, during the eternal covenant of grace between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Brethren, we're children of promise. We belong to Jesus Christ by virtue of a divine promise. And we read about it in Titus, where Paul, writing to Titus, talked about the promise being made before the world began. Well, who did he make that promise to? Who did God make that promise to if it happened back in old eternity? We weren't there. God the Father made that promise to his Son, and we were included in that promise. A particular people that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. So we belong to him. We're children of promise. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. This is the inspired word of God. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Now, Abraham had another son whose name was Ishmael. And God gives us this illustration, this biblical illustration of Isaac and Ishmael, so that we can better understand what we have experienced. Now this goes along with the second point. We belong to Christ by virtue of a divine payment. Now listen, what God did for Abraham, he made sure that Abraham and Sarah and all who know this story concerning the birth of Isaac, they would know, we would know, that this promise to Abraham was performed by the power of God that man contributed absolutely nothing to. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old before Isaac was born. Now, Isaac had nothing to do with his physical birth. He had nothing to do with his inheritance. Can you imagine Isaac saying, "I'm so thankful I was smart enough to make a decision to be the heir of all of my father's substance"? If he be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Isaac grew up as the only heir to his father's substance. Ishmael was cast out. Now Sarah is the one who told Abraham that Ishmael would not be an heir with her son, but that was from God. Abraham loved Ishmael, and he just absolutely didn't know what to do. And God told him, "Hearken unto your wife. This is from me." But he did assure Abraham that Ishmael would be taken care of, that he would, a nation would come from his loins. But the point is, Ishmael mocked Isaac after he was born. Now this subject of a particular people given to Christ before the foundation of the world absolutely fills false religionists with rage. They don't want to hear that. But here in verse 28 of chapter 4, we read, "Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." What did Ishmael contribute to his birth? Nothing. What did he do to deserve that inheritance? Nothing. Well, this is the way it is with God's children. We were promised to Christ before the foundation of the world. What did we contribute to the miracle of the new birth? Absolutely nothing. We contributed no more to the new birth than we did to our physical birth. But a seed had to be planted in our mother's womb from our father. But even then, only God can open the womb, and he's the one who formed us, our physical being, in our mother's womb. Now, God does use instruments. He uses preachers, dedicated witnesses of his true gospel, planting seeds and watering seeds of gospel truths, but only God can give the increase. So this takes us to belonging to Christ by virtue of a divine payment and by virtue of a divine power. Here in Galatians chapter 3, Starting at verse 9, we read these words. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Do you understand what that means? That means if you offend God by breaking just one tenth of one part of His holy law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law of God. And a curse is pronounced upon everyone that comes into this world. Because we sin against God in our mother's womb, and when we come forth from our mother's womb, the Word of God tells us that. But that no man is justified, we read in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. Boy, some of the legalists should read that. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So we have to be perfect from our mother's womb until we take that last breath before we depart this life. Can anybody say that? Jesus Christ can. He's our righteousness. The only righteousness that God will accept. Read on. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, folks, Jesus Christ, He took care of that curse for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He took care of our sin debt. All the sins of God's elect, our Savior bore in His body on a tree. God has removed them as far as the east is from the west, from His sight, and we by faith receive that. Knowing, like I said earlier, God sees no sin in His people. He sees us in Christ who is perfect. He by Himself purged our sins. By His one supreme sacrifice, He sanctified us, made us holy. By that same sacrifice, He perfected His children forever. This is the truth. The price has been paid. We're not our own. Jesus Christ paid the price with His own precious blood. And God the Father accepted what He, our Lord Jesus, did for His people. God the Father is satisfied. God the Son is satisfied. God the Holy Spirit is satisfied. Are you satisfied with what Christ did? Amen. Brother, we can't add anything to that. We can't. If we try to do that, we are committing sin against God in our foolish attempt to try to please Him by something we do. God will not accept that. The truth concerning Isaac being a child of God's promise to Abraham applied to all of us. We belong to Christ by virtue of His divine power. We didn't know this. We didn't know these gospel truths until we came under the preaching of the true gospel of God's grace. And the Holy Spirit takes these precious gospel truths, and by His divine power, He reveals them to us. He does not even speak of Himself. He points us to Christ. That's the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. You won't hear that from an unregenerate man who claims to be a pastor, a preacher. He wants to speak of Himself, and he wants his congregation to speak of themselves. Christ is over here to the side. What you do is what's important. You must make a decision for Jesus or you're going to hell. Jesus made that decision for us to keep us from going to hell. And so we belong to Him by virtue of a divine payment. Look at Galatians chapter 4, I mean, by a divine power. Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So at this point, we belong to Christ by virtue of a divine payment, is seen right here. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed us. He redeemed us. He redeemed us. That means he purchased us. But this divine power that we're talking about, we see in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is the power of God in the miracle of the new birth. He sends his Spirit into our hearts. And his Spirit reveals the things of Christ to us. But notice what it says. It says that because you are sons, not because you exercised your free will, but because you are sons, God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. There's a reason why God did this. Because in the previous verse it says Christ redeemed us. He purchased us with his blood. So because of that, we're children of the Most High God, and under the preaching of his gospel, he reveals this to us. He reveals it to his chosen people that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Look back at chapter 3 of Galatians, the first three verses. Oh, foolish Galatians, and they were foolish. They had heard the gospel, and some false religionists who claimed to be followers of Jesus Christ came into their midst and persuaded them that if they didn't get circumcised, they could not be saved. That's what's going on in works religionists today. But Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So the work of God, performed by his Spirit in bringing us under the preaching of the gospel and beginning the good work in us, which he will perfect until the day of Jesus Christ, is our only hope. We see Christ crucified. That was preached to those Galatians, and they let some sinful men who claim to be preachers creep in and absolutely take their eye of faith off of Christ. Brethren, we cannot allow that. People want to know why I preach against works religion so much. Because my desire is for the ones who come under my preaching to have what I have. To be in Christ, to belong to Christ. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And we've been made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ because of a promise that was conditional upon what Jesus Christ would do for his people, and he did it. He did. He fulfilled all the conditions of the eternal covenant. And God received what he did. And when we hear the gospel made effectual by the power of God, we receive that. And we do something else. And I could title this as a fourth point. God has given us the Spirit of his Son, and we belong to him, that we might give him all the praise and all the glory. Is there anything wrong with giving God all the glory? There's something wrong if we don't. And those who are under the preaching of works religion and believe that preaching, they rob God of his glory. They rob Jesus Christ of his glory. And our God's a jealous God. And he says in his word, I will not share my glory with another. Can you imagine what he's going to do to all those people who believe they're going to heaven because they've done something to earn favor with God? If you have anything in your mind that causes you to hold on to something other than Jesus Christ for your hope of entering into his presence when your life is over or when he returns, get rid of it as fast as you can. Place your full hope in Christ and only in Christ. And that's what pleases God, that we give his Son all the glory for our eternal salvation. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Brother John, please.
Amen.